And we are back with another episode of the Harris Huddle. I am your host, Jalen Harris, and we are back with the Harris Huddle. This is episode 16 that you are listening to right now. And man, I am happy to be back talking with you guys, talking with all my listeners from around the world. I love it. I'm back. School's been hard for a couple weeks. I can't get a podcast out to you guys, and I miss you guys, miss talking on the mic, miss talking about sports. But I got a week of clarity, week of no tests. Got to throw my hands up in the air and say thank you, please, for having no tests. But I'm good. I'm back. I'm back in my element. And I can focus this week and get this episode 16 out to you guys. And I really try and put out episodes every, like, 2 weeks. I used to say every week. That was in the summer, though. But I say every 2 weeks. But as we know, life isn't always rainbows and sunshine. But thank you guys for tuning in to episode 16 of the Harris Huddle. And we're just going to shout out my social media real quick. If you haven't followed me on social media, please, if you don't take anything away from this episode, follow my Twitter page at Huddle Harris. That's HuddleHarris. And my Instagram, and my also my Instagram page at _ Harris Huddle. This is _ HarrisHuddle. All right. Hope everybody can understand that well. I didn't say that too fast. If you can't, if I said that too fast, you can go back and replay it. My social media is in my bio, my Anchor account. It's everywhere. But we're going to get to it, man. But wow, it feels good to be back. And I'm recording off my phone. So if it sounds dingy or you hear background noise, let me know. And I'll just record on my mic. The only thing about recording on my mic is I get a 30-minute limit, and for this episode, I might go longer than 30 minutes. So, hey, we're going to get rolling. So, in our recent news today, in our sports world community, we have a couple things. I didn't find too much that I thought would be hits. I know you guys might have heard a lot of these points, but I feel like I wanted to put my opinion on a lot of these things because a lot of these things are sad. Well, two of them are sad, but two of them are also good. So, hey, we're going to get to it. Les Miles and Kansas come to a mutual agreement to part ways after misconduct issues from LSU have been brought to light. And this one was a shocker, man. LSU has been in the news for the past couple months about not a lot of things related to Title IX. So, I'm really worried about LSU because I'm like, that Title IX stuff is nothing to play with, and guys have to respect, and everybody needs respect in society, and people need to be respecting. This is one of the issues that highlights it. So last week, I think one of the media companies went to court to fight to release it. One of the big media companies that LSU made an agreement with Les Miles that to keep this silent unless they go to court. They had to fight to release it. And that happened. So Les Miles was banned from being alone with female students because he would try and get them to go to his condo. And he was accused of trying to kiss a student. He was trying to get multiple female students to go to his condo. And that's a major issue. That's something you can't do as a Power 5 coach. I mean, students on campus, you're trying to get them to go to your condo to kiss them, and you're making them uncomfortable. Like, this, that's not okay. And LSU hiding that is also not okay. I could see sanctions coming down or flags coming down. Not flags, sanctions, suspensions, firings, because who knew about this? I mean, did the AD know? Did the Title IX office know about this? Because it's a lot that goes into this, and it's a lot that needs to be changed with this process and how sexual misconduct issues are handled in college and with the administration. A lot of it just gets pushed under the rug, and that has to change. We have to step into the light or get out of the darkness with that and start treating women and giving women their rights they need with the Title IX and the actual punishment that coaches need for trying to bring female students to his apartment and make them uncomfortable. But that's another story. I mean, this, it says it's mutual, but Les Miles got fired. But you get, like, college coaches get paid so much. Les Miles is getting $2 million to leave. And that is ridiculous because Kansas sucks. But that's another story. I don't know if any other coach could bring Kansas back up to the top of the ranks, maybe a top 25 team, but it's Kansas. Who wants to live in Kansas? I'm sorry for my uncle and big cousin that live in Kansas, but who wants to live in Kansas? And we move on to our next topic. The Heat. Myers Leonard uses an anti-Semitic slur during a Twitch video game live stream. Wow. I don't know if his stream was yesterday, but the video came out yesterday. I watched it. This is wild because the Heat, Myers Leonard, he's a forward or center for the Heat. Makes about like probably $10 million. Great, decent player. Great role player. Yeah, he can do what he do. Rebound, shoot threes. A typical guy in the NBA. And he was playing Call of Duty on Twitch. And if you don't know what Twitch is, it's a, like I just said, it's a live streaming where you can live stream video games. Where you can just talk. You can do whatever. You have like a chat room. You can use emotes and everybody can type in it. You got thousands of people watching. So I think he just got killed. He was like, don't kill me. He was like, don't shoot me, you CB with a sniper or something. So I can't repeat what he said because it's anti-Semitic. I can't believe you would do this. You would say something like this on where you're being live, where you're on live stream, you're being recorded. And I saw a video after a couple of videos of his wife actually calling him and him, her probably going off on him, like, what you doing? He was like, hey guys, I gotta leave. And it's ridiculous because the Heat owner is Jewish. And I'm like, wow. You can't do this. It's unacceptable. Like with the Les Miles thing, it's unacceptable. Both of these things are unacceptable in society. You just can't do it. And he's currently not with the team indefinitely right now because the NBA is going through an investigation. The Heat are cooperating with that investigation. So I'm just saying, Myers Leonard is probably getting cut. Probably won't play on a team for maybe the rest of this year. But I can't tell about if this is the end of his career. But he might be done with the Heat because your owner is Jewish. And I don't think you want anybody on your team that thinks that way, that even would think about using that type of word on the live stream. And I don't really understand why he had to say that. He gave some half-hearted apology. He said he didn't know what the word meant. He's going to get help from the Jewish community. But I feel like you have to be sincere. You just can't post a graphic and with writing an apology on a graphic as well and post that on Twitter. You have to come out. You have to show your face. You have to hear your voice and see that you're sincere, because he didn't really seem sincere for after his wife called. He was like, I just got to get off. My wife's upset with me. Come on. You see what you just said? I mean, we had that issue with Deshaun Jackson. He actually gave a sincere apology. Yeah, he actually got help and got work from the community. He got a bigger firestorm than that, but that might be another issue. But you can't use this language. You can't use anti-Semitic language. You can't use the slur. You can't use any slur. It's no point in that in our community. But we move on to our next issue. Amanda Nunes submits Megan Anderson via armbar in the first round to defend her women's featherweight title. Wow. I didn't watch this personally, but I saw the ending. The ending really hit me. She was just like, I'm going harder. She brought out her daughter or son, her baby, in the ring. She was like, I'm going harder. Nobody can beat me. Nobody's going to beat me yet now that I got my kid. And I just really, that really hit me because I was just like, wow, a female UFC fighter brings her child in after defeating somebody in the ring. That was crazy. That hit me. I was like, if that's not the whole emphasis of 21 with inclusion, like, who'd have thought you could bring a baby in the ring after the UFC fight and you just won and it's a woman? Like, it's crazy. I know that's probably not a big thing out there, but it just hit me. I was just like, wow. And I know Amanda Nunes is really good, undefeated. I don't really watch UFC like that because, watching people get hit in the face, nose broken, face get deformed, dented. It's not me. You just, people get knocked out. I'd be like, ooh, what if that was me? What if that was me? I'd be like, that would hurt, man. I'd be walking out the ring with dented nose, broken noses, leaned in foreheads. Whew, Lord, Lord. But you go move on to our next issue. Blake Griffin signs a minimum deal to sign with the Nets. He just got bought out from the Pistons. And I think his contract is like $1.5 million for the rest of the season. And it's a shocker. Big fall for Blake because he was an All-NBA, I think like seven-time All-Star. He was an All-NBA. I want to say All-Pro so bad. Y'all forgive me if I did. But All-NBA like two or three times. Blake was great. One of the best dunkers in the history, in-game dunkers in the history of the league. Jumping over a kid, that was iconic. That was iconic, and I think Blake's body is robbing him of explosiveness because he hasn't dunked this whole year. Blake Griffin hasn't dunked. And that stat shocked me. It shocked me, really, because Blake Griffin not dunking? Come on. Like, it's Blake. I would have assumed he dunked. Even if I didn't see him, I was like, oh, he dunked before I saw the watch turn on the game or something. But hey, he was only averaging 12 points, 4 assists for the Pistons, and I can see why they bought him out. Nobody's paying a guy upwards of $70 million in 2 years to not dunk and score 12 points and not be the all-star you wanted him to be. Now, another issue is Andre Drummond next, and I need to dedicate a whole episode to this, this kind of buyout market in the middle of the NBA season. Andre Drummond is probably going to get bought out next because he is making about $28 million right now, and he has an option next year, or he's a free agent, and he's a typical 70, 80s, 90s center. He's good in the paint. I think he can hit a shot or two outside, but he's really really dominant in the paint. He's really in the paint. He can't really go outside to defend or be a threat outside to shoot with a jumper, so he's kind of needed by contenders, Nets, Heat, Lakers, possibly the Clippers. But he's really needed by teams to be that solid five big to come out there and be defensive in your front court and then slot him out for a bigger guy, for a smaller guy when you go small or need to defend shooters. But he's a dominant force, give you a couple rebounds. But he's going to be bought out as well. And that, I really think what's coming out in the media, he's going to be either going to the Brooklyn Nets or the Lakers. So I really hope he goes to the Lakers because you need all that to stop a man who's 36. Really? 36. The Nets have 29 All-Stars. Former All-Stars. It don't matter. They have 30 of them. What, they going to get Steve Nash to suit up next? He could be the 31st All-Star? I mean, come on, man. He's 36. But, yeah, as you know, if you don't know, I'm kind of Team LeBron. One of the greatest, man. But we're going to move on to our main topic, NFL free agency, man. Free agency started off on an interesting note yesterday because yesterday at 4 p.m., Tuesday, if you don't know, if you're in a different time zone, Tuesday, 4 p.m., was the franchise tag deadline. And if you don't know, the franchise tag is a one-year deal that keeps you with the current team, and it gives you a salary average of the top five highest paid salaries at your position. So if you get on salary tag, you're getting good eats, but getting good meals, get everything, good salary. But you can't leave. If you wanted to leave, you cannot. Now, some notable players franchise tag yesterday. Allen Robinson, receiver for the Bears. Marcus Williams, safety for the Saints. Leonard Williams, defensive tackle for the Giants. Cam Robinson, a surprise, offensive tackle for the Jaguars. Chris Godwin, wide receiver for the Buccaneers. And some notable players not tagged. Jonnu Smith, tight end, Tennessee. Joe Thuney, offensive guard, Patriots. Kenny Golladay, wide receiver, Lions. Aaron Jones, running back, Packers. Shaq Barrett, edge rusher, Buccaneers. Hunter Henry, tight end, Chargers. And Shaquille Griffin, cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I know I just ran through that quick, ran through that kind of fast, but those players that get franchise tag are really good that you don't want to hit free agency, or they could be like you just want them to see. You want to give them an extra prove it year, prove that you're worth this money. Prove that I should give you a long-term extension. But mainly teams use it because they can't reach an extension. They just want to be like, hey, we don't want to let you leave. So we're going to hit you with that. But also, it was a big news just on Monday. It might have been Sunday. But Dak Prescott signed a four-year deal It was on Monday. Excuse me. It was a four. It was, Dak Prescott signed a 4-year, $160 million extension with the Cowboys, and this was coming to the line because we all thought Dak would get franchised. He would have to play another year, and Jerry's not going to pay him, and it was going to be sad because Dak was one of the best leaders and on that is the best leader on that team, one of the best leaders in the NFL, one of the most productive quarterbacks in the NFL, leading his team, and he was going to be on the franchise tag. And it was wild because I really thought, they're not going to get to it. They're not going to cave into Dak. They're just going to hit him with the franchise tag and say, prove it. But, hey, I'm happy Dak got his money from Mississippi State, Hell State. I'm proud of the man getting 4 years, $160 million. Everything he wanted that was leaked, he got it. And he deserves to get paid, man. Break your ankle on national TV was rough for you, rough and rehabbing and not knowing if you might not ever play again or might not ever be the same quarterback. You have to get that financial security, and I'm happy for him. I'm tired of Carson Palmer, other guys. I'm not going to go on a rant like I did a couple episodes, but stop speaking on the man money. I don't care if he has 20 national commercials. That's his money. That's his problem. Should have been better to get a national commercial, but that's my issue. Stop pocket watching. But Dak Prescott gets some money. Happy for him. Levante David signed a linebacker for the Buccaneers, signed a 2-year, $25 million to stay with the Bucs. If you don't know who that guy is, you need to watch the Super Bowl and see what he did to Travis Kelce. Not saying that he was a one-game shiner. Levante David has been great the past, I think, 7 or 8 years he's been in the NFL. Great linebacker. Pro bowler. I think he's been an all-pro, I think, 2 times. But I think he's really been underrated because Levante David averages about 80 to 100 tackles a year. And he's been great. Him and Devin White have been flying around for the Buccaneers. And they really solidified that Super Bowl win. But, yeah, 2 years, $25 million. This was something I wasn't expecting because, as I stated a minute ago, the Buccaneers gave their franchise tag to Chris Godwin, and that leaves their two main players on defense, Shaq Barrett, edge rusher, and Levante David, linebacker, to get signed. So they already got one thing out the way with Levante David, and that gives them a very impact player on their defense. Now, the only big key is, will they get Shaq Barrett signed? And Shaq Barrett, if you guys, is a great player. He had, I think, like 20 sacks last year, and he got 12 this year. Get more attention from the offensive line. But he's going to get $20 million average a year. That's great. He deserves it. He's been undrafted player, hasn't made a lot of money until last year. So he's going to get paid, and they're going to have to pay it. But they got one building block out the way on that defense. Levante David signed. Now we got a big man trade. Big man trade. The NFL's biggest lineman, 6'8", Trent Brown. I don't know if he's the biggest lineman. He's just huge. 6'8", probably 400 pounds. Huge. Had the biggest contract for the offensive lineman in the league. He signed with the Raiders. Hasn't really worked out. I thought it was working out his first year, but this year he's been hurt. He might have played in like maybe 8 games this year. Now I might be giving it lightly on him. Raiders fan might be like, no, he played more. But I'm sorry. But he was traded back to his former team, the New England Patriots. I think he was on the 49ers before that. But he gained that contract money from the Patriots. He played really well on the Patriots Super Bowl run. And he entered free agency and got that huge contract from the Raiders. And obviously, he hasn't worked out for the Raiders because he's getting traded. And Bill Belichick gets one of his old building block backs to get that offensive line solidified. But you're also losing Joe Thuney, though. I don't know, Bill. What are you doing? But hey, Bill Belichick always has a play. Now, the Raiders really didn't get anything back to me. They got a 5th-round pick. I would like probably a 4th-round pick. Maybe a little something higher. I know you guys probably like, what's the difference between a 4th and 5th round pick? Well, you could get a better player, and you're trading a, I think he's a left or right tackle. I think he plays both. Left tackle, highest played in the league, and you're going to give him right back to the Patriots, and he can turn right back into that top player. But it's not working out for John Gruden and Mike Mayock. That is the head coach of the Raiders and the general manager of the Raiders. Every person they signed in the 2019 free agency is not on the team anymore. Antonio Brown, cut. Trent Brown, traded. LaMarcus Joyner, cut. Tyrell Williams, cut. Richie Incognito, cut. It's not looking good. You're paying John Gruden $100 million. 10 years. About 3 to 4 years in, haven't made the playoffs. When is that $10 million going to start paying off for me? If I'm the Raiders owner, I can't remember his name, but he has like a, his haircuts always kill me, but you got to start checking these boxes off, John Gruden. Playoffs, I need a Super Bowl, but I mainly need playoffs. And now you got Patrick Mahomes in that division, so you need to get that Y2 split banana, whatever play call, working. Thank you, please. But hey, if free agency is going to be interesting, man, because like I said, all those players that didn't get tagged, if they don't sign a contract with a team in about a week, they're going to be free. They're going to sign, I wouldn't say big contracts, but they're going to sign. A lot of these guys are going to sign good contracts with teams. I know the cap is lower. It's going to be about 180-ish, but down about 40 to 50 million from what it usually is. But yeah, it's kind of hard to, they haven't put that hard number out there, but teams are going to, if you're a fan of the NFL teams, they're going to be restructuring guys. A lot of guys are going to get cut because teams are kind of trying to save money and get under that hard cap that the NFL has. But we are going to move on to my next topic, Falcons future and offseason moves. We're going to probably dedicate another episode to this free agency, probably when it opens up, because I don't see much happening. Because yesterday, I'm sorry, I'm jumping back into the topic, but they say yesterday was going to be a bloodbath with cuts, but we didn't really see that. We just got, wow, I just got breaking news. The 2021 salary cap was just announced. It just came to my phone from the NFL app. It's going to be $182.5 million. Wow, that's crazy. You guys got breaking news on the hair soda, so when this drops, you're going to see it. That's good. So, as I was just saying, it's a little $2 million higher for now that the cap is set. You might see a bloodbath the rest of this week. And I'll update you. I might put out another video either later in this week or early next week if a lot of cuts happen, where teams should go, what I think should happen. But we're going to move on. The Falcons offseason, future and offseason. The Falcons have the third highest cap hit in the NFL. AKA, we don't have any money. We don't have any money to make any moves. We got to cut guys. We got to restructure guys. Guys are going to have to leave. Well, personally, I know a lot of Falcons fans. Atlanta Falcons have the fourth pick in the NFL draft. That's a very high pick. And you have a lot of great quarterbacks in this draft. And I know a lot of Falcons fans are like, get rid of Mac. Get him out of here. He sucks. He does this. He blows. He just gets sacks. He can't move. Matty Ice sucks. I want Cam Newton back, even though he threw 4 touchdowns last year. I don't understand that. But, excuse me. Gotta stop saying, I don't like the Falcons taking a quarterback this year. It doesn't fix our problems, guys. If you're a Falcons fan, listen to it. It doesn't fix our problem taking a quarterback. What does it matter if the fourth round pick rookie has no offensive line? We're still going to have Matt Ryan. His cap hit is $30 million. He's not going anywhere unless we trade him. But we're probably going to take a dead cap of hit of upwards of $20 million if we trade Matt Ryan. So he's not going anywhere for the next 2 to 3 years. You're going to have to deal with it. Now, to keep Matt Ryan upright and him to not throw picks, we need protection around him. We need to get those interior guards. The center, guard, we need to get that fixed. And the right tackle. Our rookies our guys we drafted need to play up. Caleb McGarry, the offensive guard from Boston College, they have to play better. That to play to their status, guys need to play better. Now, as I said, I wouldn't go with a quarterback in the with the fourth pick. I know a lot of media guys, draft analysts are mocking us to Zach Wilson. I almost forgot his name. I was like, I know this guy's name, Zach Wilson. BAU quarterback. He's about 6'3", 210. Really spin it, but I'm really a little scary because of the competition BYU plays, but I'm not saying he's not good, but is he that good to where we have to skip other needs at 4 or possibly a trade back? I'm going to get in that to a second, but I don't know if Zach Wilson is that great to skip our needs, because we're going to have Zach Wilson along with Matt Ryan. That's going to be about $40 to $50 million in quarterback money. We can't do that. We have bigger needs. Got to get the defense right. And I had a list of major needs I really think need to be addressed, but I'm going to get into that. With the Falcons pick, I really think we could trade back and get a King's ransom. We can get two first-round picks, maybe another second or third-round pick this year to move back maybe to like 10, 11, and 12. Get a defensive player that we probably really need. I know guys are probably not going to be happy with this when I say that, because we will get more bang for our buck. Would you rather have us select Zach Wilson and he sit the bench for 2 to 3 years to learn from Matt Ryan and we still suck? Or would you want to load up again while you still have Matt Ryan? We still have Julio. We have Calvin Ridley. We're going to load up, try and rebuild that defense and go for it over the next 2-3 years before Matt Ryan ultimately takes his gracefully exit that we hope he does. But unlike Phillip Rivers. But we got to take another run. All respect to Phillip Rivers. I just made an arm joke, but Phillip Rivers, no, excuse me, Matt Ryan, we need to load up again because he's not going anywhere. We need to rebuild our defense. We got some major needs: defensive end, center, defensive tackle, cornerback, both safety positions. After we just cut Ricardo Allen, we're probably gonna let Keanu Neal walk. Running back, need to let Ty Gurley walk. He's a big cap hit, and the interior offensive line, as I said, needs to be addressed. We address that in the draft. We can't sign any free agents. We barely have any money. Because, like, as I say, we don't have any money. If we could get about 10, 15 million under the cap this year with restructuring guys like Julio, Jake Matthews, Jared Grady. Restructuring him, maybe give Deion Jones to restructure, spread their cap hit for a couple of years. I can't think of any more guys that make real money, but they restructuring those guys could give us about back either at the cap, under the cap hit, or back under it, or really under it. Restructuring all those guys because they make a lot of money under the salary cap, and the Falcons are paying them heavily. But here's some free agent targets I think we could target. Trey Henderson, I know if you're a Falcons and Saints fan, you're probably hating. You're like, I don't want to ain't. And then you're a Saints fan, like, no, don't go to the Falcons. But Trey Henderson, defensive end for the Saints, he had 12 and a half sacks this year. He's really good. When I watched him in Saints games, he popped off film. Good burst, good hand movement. Really think he could set it off. He could really set off our edge with possibly don't. Tag team with Dante Fowler, because we need sacks, guys. We need to get pressure on the quarterback because we need to help out our second year cornerback and AJ Terrell. We need to help out our other young cornerbacks. If we ever expect them to play better, we need pass rush. We got this. I think I saw a stat when the Falcons were playing like week 16, week 17. The sixth ranked run defense, 31st pass defense. Good God. But I know Dante Fowler was hurt this year, and he might have been, I know he caught COVID, so all of that might have been playing a factor into it. But we need you to get sacks, brother. We need you to get the quarterback on the ground. We need pass rush. We need interior rush. I know Grady Jarrett is handling this thing. No issues with him. Still a top 5 defensive tackle in the league. Can't expect anything from him. He's getting doubled every play probably, or every other play. But other guys have to step up this year. Our second round pick after Auburn, I know his first year he was hurt, but he has to step up this year. We need to restructure and rebuild our front seven so we can compete. Because we have Tom Brady. He might play for another 45 years. We have whoever Sean Perkins is going to bring out in New Orleans. We have Carolina. They might get Deshaun Watson this year. That'd be scary. I might have nightmares when I go to sleep. But we have to think about that, man. NFC South, I mean, it's everybody's reloading except the Buccaneers. And top the Buccaneers, you have to get like the Buccaneers. Good defensive front. And I really feel like our defense is small. We drafted guys because they're kind of fast. They can play multiple positions. We need to draft guys that are bigger, that are physical, that can actually rush the passer. Not undersized defensive ends. We need guys like that are prototypical, 6'5", 260 pounds, can really get to the passer. We need guys like that. Not 6'2", 6'3", 230 pounds, 240 pounds. And we need guys to produce. We need to stop paying guys that don't produce. I'm sorry if you can hear me hitting my fist because I'm frustrated as a Falcons fan. You know how frustrating it is to get to like week 4, week 6, week 8. And you're like, I'm not going to watch a game this year. I know we're going to have a top 10 pick. It sucks. It sucks. So much pain. 28-3. It sucks. Come on. But get back on topic. Now, for you draft guys, for you guys that want an offensive player, Let's run it back. The only player I would take offensively, unless we have to take a quarterback, is Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida, or wide receiver out of Florida. Woo. Guys. He is a monster. But I'll take it. I'll take this day by day. And as it's going, it's growing on me because it makes more sense that Julio going to be the downside of his career. About 3 to 4 years, maybe 5, unless he plays like Larry Fitzgerald, 28 more years. If you don't get these jokes, I'm not being literal, but hey. But 3 to 4 years, Julio's going to be on the slower side of his career. Kyle Pitts can just slide into that second tight end role with Hunter Henry. No, I'm the tight end we have from Baltimore. I can't remember his name, red hair. We can do run 2 tight end sets, Kyle Pitts, or push Kyle Pitts out into the slot and have him work against nickel cornerbacks and linebackers. That'd be devastating. Kyle Pitts, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. Oh my God. I don't see how you can stop it. Then we can run 2 tight end sets and just run the ball because Kyle Pitts is a willing blocker, and that sets up the play action with 2 tight end sets. That really helps gets Matt Ryan back to what he was doing with Kyle Shanahan. 2 tight end sets, pass, play action, running the ball. I know Arthur Smith really comes from Tennessee with that play action, Ryan Tannehill, smashing them, and play action in it. And Arthur Smith loves that. You come from Tennessee, Derrick Henry, rushing king. He was the offensive coordinator. So you got to get to our roots, and I really feel like we can do it. And signing a running back or maybe getting a running back in the draft, a big guy that we just really scare defensive with running the ball because the Falcons really didn't do that the past couple of years. I think in the Cowboys game, we had like 15 rushes or 20 rushes. When we get leads, and we blew so many leads last season, we have to run the ball. Running backs into your offensive line have to play a factor to that. So with that future in the offseason, I would say go after one of these edge rushers. I don't think I said all of them. Excuse me. Go after these players in free agency. Trey Henderson. Carl Lawson, defensive end for the Bengals. He had about 8 sacks, but he's a menace on film. It really jumps off screen. Has great hand usage. Really a good player for the Bengals. Bud Dupree, tore his ACL this year. He was really turning it on. I think he had like 8 sacks and 10 the games, and that was crazy because he would probably finish around 16, 17 sacks. Now, it might have been a contract year, but Bud Dupree is a good player. We could get him probably on the cheap end from that, him having an ACL injury. And for safety, I say John Johnson from the Rams. Great player, really jumped off film, and good player. All these guys are borderline Pro Bowlers. And they're underrated. We need those underrated guys that really play up to their contract, or they might not. They might not command $18 million for as a free agent, but they're underrated players that we can take a value of, take advantage of, or just really pay those guys to produce. We need players that produce, not players that talk about it, like Tack McKinley. No offense, but we need guys that's going to produce. Fact. We need guys that's going to produce. And Matt Ryan's not going to leave, so we got to get that interior offensive line playing. And guys have to, we have to hope for health, really. And guys have to play up to their draft picks. And I know we're getting a new GM, new infrastructure in here with GM, scouting. And I really like the guys we're hiring. But I really think the future main thing is building the roster for the Falcons around the quarterback, around the, like, building the interior. Forget skill positions. Need to focus on the fat boys, the trenches. Focus on the offensive line. Focus on the defensive line. Focus on the actual defense. I know I just said no skill position, but talking about offense, guys. I'm talking about offense. We need to draft corners. We need to draft defensive line. Got to get guys on the ground. Got to get turnovers. Got to get fumbles. We have to. Our defense has to win us some games instead of the offense winning the game and the defense. We're praying on the last drive that the defense doesn't fold. And if you're a Falcons fan, you understand me. Like, we shouldn't have to hope the defense is going to get a stop. We need to know the defense is going to get a stop. Do you understand my wordplay? Let that marinate. We have to know that the defense is going to get a stop instead of hoping. Like my old teacher, Mr. Moore, used to say, let that marinate. Let it marinate. And that was my last topic of the episode. Man, I really enjoy this. I really enjoy free agency. I really enjoy the draft. If I can, without these teachers bombarding me with tests, Lord, I have so much information in my mind, please. But if I don't get bombarded by tests and assignment and typical college life, I will come with you guys with another episode probably next week or the week after to either review free agency or start going into my draft work. I really want to drop a mock draft with my brother. If I can't, I'll try and get that mock draft to you guys in a couple weeks. We're going to go head-to-head with it. Go head-to-head and draft guys we really like instead of needs. It's probably not going to be... We hope to not make it boring. I hope to not make it boring. Maybe ask some trades or whatever. See guys we would draft. The Harris brothers would draft. Not these phony, fake teams drafting. No, I'm just stopping. I'm just talking at this point. But I like the draft. I really love it. And we're going to try and get some more content out. And this might be the last episode of season one. I might start working on season two. I might have a little grace period before we go into season two. Because I really want to start recording in person for you guys. Let you guys actually see my face. See what I want to put up, see cameras, but we might start season two off with audio recordings and then work our way up to video recordings, because I know that takes a lot of work and finding a studio. But hey, that's just my plan. If you guys made it to this end part of the video, I love you guys. Love you. Like Chad Ochocinco says, I love you. But, and if you haven't, follow my social media I do this every episode. I'm sorry. Twitter page, Huddle Harris. It's easy. HuddleHarris. Huddle Harris on Twitter, on Instagram, _ Harris Huddle. I can repeat that. _HarrisHuddle. That's my Instagram. Man, it's great to be back. It's great to be. Great to be done finishing this 16th episode of the Harris Huddle. And last thing before I go, and I say this outro. Guess what, guys? I have a listener from the Philippines. And if you listening to this episode, I love you. I appreciate it. Guys, we are really getting global. We are probably about 348 views before I drop this episode. 384 listeners to all my episodes. That's kind of a playlist, and please go back and listen to other episodes if you haven't listened to it. I really give good content. Go back and listen to my mock draft if you have a favorite NFL team out there. Might drop a little hint out there, you know. But go back and listen to previous episodes as I'm trying to hit 500 before maybe the summertime. 500 listeners, please go back and do that to me. But I'm really excited and proud I have a listener in the Philippines, have 5% of my listeners in Ireland, and that's in Leinster. If I said that correct, shout out to my Leinster guys. In the UK and England, I'm really happy. I'm really thankful for listeners around the world, because it takes a lot, and it just makes me feel mushy inside, you know, feel great. But as I said, I am your host, Jalen Harris. Thank you for listening to this episode if you got so far. And we are out at the Harris Huddle.